Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. In moments, we're going to hear from Maryland Governor Wes Moore. His record is outrageous. I believe he's 56-24. What line? Okay. Be awesome if you told me that, Jeff. We have Maryland Governor Wes Moore on line 9. Governor, how do you do?
Oh, I was just listening to you praise my record. So keep going.
Dude, I mean, you're 54-26. It's unbelievable. That is.
Governor, you should have came in studio today, man. We had gumbo.
Yeah.
Listen. The day's not over. I might come peek in.
It's almost over for us, though.
Governor, you have some resources. Depending where you are, getting the chopper, you could be here in 10 minutes. We got plenty of gumbo left.
I could be there before it gets cold. I'm telling you, man.
I hope you would be proud. I am defending the great state of Maryland when it comes to B. Mitch talking crabs. I understand a lot of the crabs are from Louisiana, but we know how to cook them better here. That's all I'm saying.
That's exactly right. And listen, I mean, all these people, and I hear all the Virginians, well, where do the crabs come from? And this and that. It's like, yeah, but what the crabs are doing, what everybody's doing, which is coming to Maryland. That's the whole point.
Yeah, because y'all come and y'all buy them. Y'all making our crabs too expensive in Louisiana.
Governor, how about we got to make picks, obviously. We know the games. But what about this Commander season, man? I mean, just the back-to-back wins over the Eagles and the Falcons. One goes to overtime. One's a last-second win. It's really, I mean, Jaden Daniels, all of it. It's just been so impressive. And I know you've been there for most of the home games. And you've got to be enjoying it.
I'm loving it. But honestly, it's like the whole culture's changed. And that's what's really beautiful, man. It's not just that the team is winning. It's that the team is worth rooting for. And I do think there is a difference. There are some teams that are winning teams, but are just really difficult when you look at their stars and their organization. It's difficult to root for them. Like, this is one where you feel good rooting for this team. And listen, I'm giving all love and respect to Jaden Daniels. I mean, he is going to be the runaway rookie of the year. And he's going to be the first time you're going to have a rookie who will probably get some MVP votes. And so you're going to see what he's doing is special. But what's really amazing, too, is that the coaching has kicked up significantly.
Yeah.
Their offensive line has kicked up significantly. I mean, areas where they were having real problems, things like their secondary. You're watching their secondary actually shutting teams down, which is wild. So you're seeing a different type of team that they're putting up right now. And so, I mean, I'm really proud of what they're doing, and I'm proud of what they're this young leader in Jaden is really bringing to this franchise.
Yeah, it's been really fun to watch. Why don't we start there then? I know your time might be limited, so we can start right there. The Commanders are traveling down to Dallas to take on the Cowboys. Cowboys have already been eliminated. Washington only playing for seeding. Still a division game. These things are always hard to figure out. What do you think happens?
I think the Commanders blow these boys out. Listen, the Cowboys, and you know, as you know, I enjoy rooting against the Cowboys. Like, actively,
I'm aware.
I enthusiastically root against the Cowboys. But I'm almost feeling bad for it at this point because they're just a really bad team. You know, they're a team that has been struggling all year long. And you see how it's not even just that their players, they've had a tough time actually getting players to choose Dallas. They're having a difficult time keeping them on the field. You know, you still have a situation with Dak that, you know, he's done. And now with CeeDee Lamb out for the final week, I'm just not sure what options the Cowboys actually have. And so the Commanders have already said that they actually have something to play for, where it's not just respect. They're actually playing for higher seeding, that they know they're going to be an automatic playoff team. And so especially because the Commanders are going to go full throttle down there, I don't think the Cowboys have a shot.
I tend to agree with you. I'd be very, very pleased if you are proven correct on that one. Let's keep it going. One that doesn't really matter. I don't know who you want to win in this because I know how you feel about both of these organizations. Bengals-Steelers, Saturday night.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. I can't stand either one of them. But the thing about it is, both of these two teams have something to play for. And the ironic thing is that neither one are bad teams. The problem is they have, you know, with the, if you look at the Bengals, their defense is embarrassing. I mean, their offense is actually pretty solid. I mean, you have some of the best offensive tools and some of the best offensive players in the entire NFL on that team where, you know, Burrows is, again, he's not in the same category as Lamar, but he's a very good quarterback. And then you have folks like Chase. I mean, you have a solid team on there, the Bengals. It's just that their defense could not stop a very good college team.
No.
At this point. They are just putting up – I mean, the teams are putting up just ridiculous numbers against the Bengals. And then you have the Steelers where, you know, the Steelers' defense is actually continues to be very strong, but their offense, you know, just decides when it wants to show up and when it doesn't want to show up, which is never going to mean you're going to be a good or consistent team in the NFL. So, but the thing about both these two teams – have something to play for. They have something to fight for. And so I think they're going to be putting their best foot forward. But I do think the Steelers pull this one out because this Bengals defense is embarrassing at this point.
Yeah. It's astonishing that the Bengals are probably going to finish the season with statistically the best quarterback in the NFL from a volume standpoint, highest yardage,
absolutely,
highest touchdowns.
Absolutely.
The best wide receiver in the NFL by a mile, yardage, touchdowns.
But they're throwing it like 800 times more than everybody else.
And the sack leader in the all I'm saying is they're going to finish with three statistical leaders that's really hard to do and probably not make the playoffs. They got to fire that coach. They're not going to listen to me. Fine.
I honestly could not agree with you more because what you just laid out and what we were saying before about when you have an offensive juggernaut, which they are, an offensive juggernaut in the way that the Bengals are, and you lose and you finish with a losing record, let's be clear, the front office has some decisions to make.
Totally. But unfortunately, they got cheap ownership, and they're not going to do anything.
Right.
You want to pick your – I don't think this is going to take a tremendous amount of time, Gov. Cleveland against Baltimore.
The best team in the NFL against one of the worst teams in the NFL. Let me see how this one goes. Here's the thing. And when I say the best team in the NFL, people have got to see, and I think they saw over the process past week that I don't say that because I'm like a homer or a fan. I mean, look how many Pro Bowlers the Ravens just put
out. Y'all almost got a whole damn starting team.
They look excellent. They look like they're peaking at the right time.
And they are. And we always talk about it. The key thing going into the playoffs, it's the two H's. Are you hot and are you healthy? And the thing about the Ravens is right now we're both hot and we're healthy. I do not see all of our players playing the entire game. I think that Harbaugh is probably going to be smart about going into the playoffs, but I also think Harbaugh is not trying to lose. And we're at home against a team that has just struggled all year long. And so while I don't think that we're going to see a whole lot of Lamar or a whole lot of Zay or a whole lot of Derrick Henry or a whole lot of Kyle Hamilton. I think, you know, or a whole lot of Roquan. I think we're going to sit a lot of them during the, particularly during the second half. I don't think Harbaugh wants to lose going into the playoffs. And so I think that the Ravens pull this one off.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not even doing a bit here. Do you know who the Browns are starting at quarterback?
No idea.
They don't want to. They're like not making it public, but it's either Bailey Zappe or Dorian Thompson Robinson. So,
right.
Gov, are you aware of what the point spread is in this game?
What is it?
20 points. The Ravens are laying 3 touchdowns. That's insane.
Well, only thing I got to say, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I probably wouldn't take the points on that because
I don't
think the Ravens are gonna play their players.
Right. I think there's real questions why, if you get into the third quarter and are up 2 touchdowns, why you have anybody out there. I think that impacts the Commanders this week, too. And there's a bunch of interesting games. But we got 2 games left, Gov, that are not like that whatsoever.
But before I say that, I will say this about the defense. And again, I'm glad you knew the quarterback's names because I didn't. who the Browns might put up. But the Ravens are probably the most complicated defense in the NFL to figure out just because of the amount of schemes that we throw at you. So the Ravens are a tough defense against a seasoned, settled NFL quarterback. You throw someone in there who this is the first time they're seeing it, it just, if the Ravens defense will feel like they're 15 players on the field. That's how many schemes that we throw at you. So this is going to be a real complicated game for the Browns.
Yeah, I totally agree. Two games where at least one of the teams is desperate for a win. Let's start. I think they're playing this one in Denver. Kansas City Chiefs against the Broncos. Carson Wentz, your starting quarterback for KC. Denver needs it. I think it's winning in for Denver, and they're a big favorite.
Yeah, I think Denver does win this one because I think Denver is the only team that really has something to play for. I mean, I believe Coach Reid has already said that he's sitting in Mahomes and he's sitting Kelsey. So I mean, I think that for this one, the Chiefs have already lost the aspiration of having an undefeated season. They already have the first seed bought in. They already have the bye in the first round. The playoffs in the AFC runs through Kansas City. They have no incentive of playing their players out here today. So and the Broncos actually have an incentive to go out there and win, and it's at home. So I'm actually with it. I'm going with the Broncos on this one. And again, if this were two teams that had something to play for, who were both going to play all their players, my answer would be different. Sure. But it's not. So I'm going with Denver.
So that team, that Kansas City team that nobody said was any good all year, they're sitting at home, already made the playoffs, got the home field locked up, but analytically they say they're not good.
Mm-mm-mm. I'm telling you, this has been the most frustrating thing, is all year long everyone has been like, oh, you know, they're not the same. Even when they win, they're like, you know, it's not the same kind of win. I'm like, I'm sorry, they won, right?
Yeah, their defense is good.
That's the point.
Yeah, right.
They literally have lost one game in an entire calendar year.
Yeah.
So until that dynamic changes, miss me with the they're not winning the same argument.
Right.
I don't buy it.
They're 15-1 with a plus 97 point differential. And like your boys, like the Ravens, I think the Chiefs are playing their best ball right now.
Yeah, because they got those receivers back.
Yeah. And that's going to be – Brian and I were talking about this, Governor. I think in the AFC, it is absolutely one of Kansas City, Buffalo, or Baltimore that is going to represent that conference in the Super Bowl. I think one of those three is going through.
100%.
I think the NFC is wide, wide open. And
Commanders,
A lot of it starts with who gets
there, Jay, put it out there, Commanders.
You can say they're not the closest thing to a sure thing, but I would not count them out. I would not close the door on them.
No.
Winning three games, getting red hot, they could do that.
I'm going to just put it out there in the atmosphere.
That's right. And listen, we talk about it, hot and healthy. The Commanders are both. The biggest challenge and the biggest question that the Commanders are going to have is going to be on the road, because the entire playoff is going to have to be on the road. And so, and they are just, as of right now, they are a better home team than they are an away team. Mm-hmm. And so that is the biggest question that the Commanders are going to have to answer is can they go on the road against some of the best teams in the NFC and pull out victories? But I agree, it's totally wide open. I would not bet against the Commanders because they're hot and they are healthy. But the entire playoff is gonna have to be in enemy territory.
Totally. Well, then the last game that's going to decide the one seed in the NFC, the last game I'm asking you to pick, Lions-Vikings. This thing should be awesome. Who do you think brings it home?
This is such a good game. I mean, this by far is going to be the best game of the weekend, because these are two teams that are not just worried about what is their playoff seed. These are two teams who legitimately look at it and say it's either a Super Bowl or this was a failed season.
There you go.
And that's actually exciting. I think that the Lions pull this one off. Even though I got to tell you, Justin Jefferson to me is just one of the most impressive players in the league right now. He's so difficult to match up with. He changes the entire scheme of a defense, because if you think you have anybody on your team who can match up with him single-handedly, I think you're crazy. I think he's that talented. He's the ultimate decision maker. He's the ultimate playmaker, where the entire defense needs to know where he is at all times. I just think that the Lions right now are just playing really good football. I think they're playing really committed football. And so I think that they end up winning this one, even though this is going to be a hell of a game. And not to mention the fact that both of these two teams understand that the NFC, there's a very good chance it runs through one of these two.
Totally. You get that one seed, you get the bye, you get home field.
Yep.
Both of those domes get loud.
Very.
Yes.
It'll be pretty wild, man.
That's exactly right. And they saw that last year. I mean, like, you know, with the exception of just like that miracle year that the 49ers had last year, which obviously they showed a complete inability to repeat, you know, the Lions and the Vikings are both two teams that have shown they have staying power in the NFC. So they're going to be tough. And I think this is a game that a lot of Commanders fans will be paying attention to this game, because if the Commanders are successful, it's going to be probably one of these two teams that they will see to figure out who goes to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I cannot wait. Playoff football, Gov. You know, usually I think we run the picks all the way through Super Bowl weekend, but this year there's still Commanders games to be picking. We're used to doing it with the Ravens. It's a different ball game now.
Oh, yeah.
And who knows? We might have to pick the Super Bowl of the Ravens Commanders this year.
I would love to see that.
I mean, it would be wild. If that happens, I am sure you will end up in New Orleans. Can we get one night out, B. Mitch, Finley, and the Governor on Bourbon Street?
Let me tell you, New Orleans ain't ready for that.
hey, Gov, you know, I know a few spots.
Governor, I know you got to run.
I'm down.
All right.
We appreciate your time sincerely, man. Thank you. Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year. God bless y'all.
All right. Take care, man. Same to you.
Maryland Governor Wes Moore, all-time good dude right there. And, dude, on fire making picks.
Yeah, yeah.
54-26 on the year,
can
man.
Can you imagine if we were to go down there? We have his security. We'd be good.
That would be something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A couple things I want to do.
It'll be very interesting.
Toby Altizer's here. Virginia Tech has their bowl game today. Other shows get off early. We do not. But I want to hear a little Hokies preview. I got to talk to Commanders tight ends coach David Rye yesterday. I thought it was a really interesting conversation. I'd like to play some of that. We got some bets to make, and I got a pie. Nobody go anywhere.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. The NFL playoffs are almost here, but it's not too late to get in on regular season action with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Because right now, new customers can finish the season strong with $250 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. FanDuel has so many ways for you to pick up a W. Not only can you bet on who will win the game, but FanDuel also has bets for which players will score a touchdown, how many points each team will score, and so much more. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to join today. This way, you'll be all set for the biggest games of the year. That's FanDuel.com/Brian, B-R-I-A-N, for your chance at $250 in bonus bets. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner, 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
B. Mitchell Finley on a Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday. Every week on NBC4, I do a show called All Ears. I got to interview Commanders tight ends coach David Rye for the show. And you're going to hear it right now. Some really interesting stuff, particularly talking about Zach Ertz. Here we go. A first-time guest on the program, Commanders tight ends coach David Rye. Thank you for making some time for us. Obviously, it's been a heck of a ride this year, man. How much fun are you having coaching this team?
Oh, it's, I'm having a blast. First of all, it's gone incredibly fast. And
really?
I got a great group to work with. So, yeah, I'm having a blast. I love it.
Why does it feel like it's going so fast?
I think it's a little cliche, but whenever you're having fun, like, time passes pretty quickly. And we have an incredible culture, like a ton of energy. So the days just flow into the next, and, we're just having fun.
In that tight end room, right, you've got young players. Yankoff and Senate are rookies. Oh, yeah. Bates is in his fourth year, I guess, third year. And then you've got Ertz, the veteran. What does he do to set the tone for that room?
First of all, Zach is like, I get so much joy out of coaching Zach. Like, he, number one, I'll tell you, he's incredible with the one-on-one, like, bond and investment between the player and the coach. And what he does is he sets a great example of what being a pro is every day. And I'm talking with the specifics about his weekly process. And what's so fun and brings joy to my heart is you're seeing, you know, the results on Sundays.
With Ertz specifically, he catches two touchdowns, the game winner in that Atlanta game, which clinches the playoffs. What do fans not realize that Zach does so well?
Yeah. You know, what you hope for as a coach, and the fans are seeing this on Sunday, but he, number one, he respects the game, okay? And here's what I mean by that. The better you are, the better you have to be. So, like, think about playing at a really high level for as long as he has. Everybody knows that. Right. So the defense, the defenders, it forces you to continue to work on your process. And so what he's great at is the specifics. And out on the grass, he's training it in such detail, and he's so deliberate about it, which makes it so fun for me.
Sure.
And in the end, you see a result like last week. You think about the game winner, and it might look easy the way he's doing it, but that's the result, and it brings you so much joy because the work he's putting in, the work to make it look easy.
Totally. For me, seeing him go down in New Orleans, that catch he made, and then the hit and everything, the full extension, I was just so happy to see him back and then to catch a game winner 2 weeks later. He had a big catch against the Eagles too, but to have two touchdowns, a game winner, you just, the more you get to know that dude, the more you kind of root for him.
Oh yeah, there's no question. He's he does everything at such a high level. And just in order to get back to that spot, I mean, it was a considerable, you know, how he went down against the Saints. And to bounce back from that, he wasn't even feeling well that week either. But his daily regimen, I'm telling you, is, and that's how the great ones do it.
Yeah.
Like, there's no surprise. He never gets bored of the basics. He obsesses over the specifics. And I'm talking about even a one-step release, getting off the press, how he carves the route. And we do it. I mean, we'll walk through it. And if you were just watching, it honestly may look boring. Like, what are they doing? Why would you be going this slowly or this detailed through the same stuff over and over? And like we say, the bold genius does the same thing over and over and over, knowing that the result is going to be when the game's on the line. So he's just doing what he does every day.
It's interesting you say that, because Cliff, I think 2 weeks ago, was talking about with Jaden how great Jaden has been and what he has injected into this offense, but how important it is at the same time to never get bored with the easy stuff, like to never not just hit that 8-yard hitch or whatever that is, and to not look for the big plays. And I think your offense that collectively has figured out, like, yeah, there's going to be big plays along the way, but we have to do the little stuff right to make this thing work.
That's it. So two things come to mind. Number one, it builds trust, right? When you build that consistency of how you're doing things. And number two, it's like, one thing, here's what I want you to consider. If you see a great golf swing,
sure,
you know, you're watching golf, yeah, or you see like a home run hitter who hits like 30 plus home runs a year, there's something about it that looks easy.
Pure.
It's like you could sit on a couch and go, well, yeah, I can do that. And then you go out there and you shank the golf ball into the woods. It's the process of doing it over and over, which gets you to a certain level where you run the route the way you've trained it. And then, you know, what goes along with that is the trust that it builds with the quarterback.
So what's funny is I learned this in the preseason when we were down in Miami for that game. I listened to you and Logan Paulson talk about blocking, and I was like, man, I could lock in for an hour for this.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much time you have. You probably have a meeting to get to, so I'll try to keep it moving. Do you know who Stanford Steve is from ESPN?
Yeah.
He was a tight end in college. Yeah. He claims tight ends, and I'm curious if some of these other guys will hear this. He claims tight ends are the best athletes on the field because they have to be able to do what an O-lineman does and what a wide receiver does.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason I love coaching them, because you can train the blocking techniques of the offensive line, and you can train the route constitution and footwork of the perimeter. And when you combine the two, you know, we ask them to do a lot, and the more efficient they are with their skills and fundamentals, right, the better the results are. And you even look at how John's playing at the line of scrimmage. The production is really more in the run game and the blocking.
How tough is that, dude?
Yeah. I mean, he's, first of all, you'd love coaching him, too. So a different style of player. And he's got a great route tree as well. It's just what we're asking him to do right now is really take care of the edge.
And then what about Sennett's progress this year?
Benny, okay, Benny, like, he has a chance to be a really good player. He's got it. And this is, this whole experience being with the two vets in the room right now is strengthening his weekly process, his blocking techniques. And then think about being a young player with a guy like Zach right now. Like, that is, it's tremendous.
Just trying to absorb as much of that as you can.
Yes. And so he's got a great skill set. He loves it. He cares about it. And he is like, he's working his tail off. So we're seeing the progress. And I know at some point he'll get to shine.
I got two more for you. All right.
Yep.
You're a former quarterback. You're obviously coaching the tight ends now, but you're our former quarterback. Yep. Yep. What have you thought of what Jaden has done as a rookie?
I'm just so impressed with his poise and his work ethic. I mean, Jaden's awesome, man.
Sure.
He does things the right way. And he also is—he's incredibly talented, but this league, he's got the right work approach, and that's what I'm most excited about. I mean, he's in here with Cliff before 6 a.m. like every day.
I've heard Cliff gets in here real early too.
Yeah.
What time do you get in here?
I mean, I get in here early, but not as early as Cliff. Cliff is
like
Cliff's
five,
awesome, man, dude. Yeah, 5. He's here at 4. I mean, he's. Yeah, I don't want to blow up Cliff's standings. But nobody works harder.
Sure. I got one that won't blow anybody up. I'm not sure you really age much, but we have this photo.
My wife may say differently.
This is you with the Packers in 2016. I don't even – were you a QC at that point?
I got the beard now. speaking of them, you know, I worked for Coach McCarthy. It was amazing for 5 years.
It's kind of interesting.
It was with the O-line. Yes, going in – yeah, so – tremendous amount of respect for him. Like, I just want to say that he taught me so much football. And yeah, it was with the O-line, the quarterbacks. Yeah, let's go.
All right, you got
work. Talking about you.
You got work to do. Yeah.
Hey, I really appreciate it,
dude. Thank you. I appreciate you taking the time. We'll be right back. Nobody go anywhere. David Rye, Commanders tight end coach, with some really good insight there.
Don't David sound like Cliff a little bit?
Yeah.
I thought it was Cliff when I first listened to this.
One, I don't want to say concern because this is all so far down the road, but one path of life I could see, if Cliff gets a job, I wouldn't be shocked if Rye becomes OC and Cliff's calling the plays or something like that. I want to talk gumbo. I want to talk pie, but we've got him here, and he's a very busy man, very hard to pin down. Toby Altizer does something with Virginia Tech. I don't really know what it is, but he's wearing about
eight. He got on some burgundy. It ain't burgundy and gold.
He's wearing eight.
It's like burgundy and orange. It's like Hokie orange.
Eight Hokie items right now, and we can't even see his drawers. Toby, what do you do?
You better not have one on Hokie on.
Let's start there. Toby, Hokie you have Hokie drawers on.
I do not have Hokie front. Drawers on. No, okay. I do not.
With the rooster head?
No. I do not have Hokie drawers on, B-Mitch.
Speaking of Hokie drawers, I believe, what is a Hokie? Because what I believe it is.
Into the rooster?
I think it's like a.
It's a turkey.
It's a turkey?
But I think it's a turkey with that's been to V-Town.
It's a
first
turkey.
Of all, every time I hear about that, it hurts.
Yo, dog,
you shouldn't be cutting people's stuff like
I
that,
went,
man.
I went to V-Town. I'm a very responsible husband.
Nah, you ain't not no very responsible nothing.
I was laid up for a weekend. I was back in the gym in a week.
Take it on the last one. If you know you were Dutch, they could have done that for you.
Is a Hokie a turkey that's been to V-Town, Toby? Let's start there.
I just know that it's a turkey.
You're our Hokie insider.
I'm well aware.
You talking about going to V-Town. Is it a male turkey?
I think so. I would assume so. I don't know.
It could be a female turkey. What you talking about?
It's a turkey. I just know that you hear gobbles at Lane Stadium. When
Dude, turkeys,
down.
Like, you know how with chickens, it's like roosters and hens is how you call men versus women? Are turkeys just male turkeys and girl and boy turkeys?
When you look at them, you can tell. One of them look kind of weird, all that little extra stuff, and the other one don't have all that. And then one of them got that little thing that, like, it comes out like this. It looks like a beard, but it's not a beard. I don't know what they call it.
I'm going to have to study up on my Hokie's etymology.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Clearly, you don't know anything about
the mascot, do you know anything about the football team? Namely, which side should I bet on? What time's the game start?
7:30 kickoff, 5:30 coverage right here on the Fan.
Oh, dude, it's a 7:30 kickoff, and they get off 2 hours early?
It's a...
Why couldn't that game be at 2?
7:30 kickoff?
Yeah, 7:30 kickoff.
I'm only going to do nothing.
Duke's Mayo Bowl against Minnesota. Oh,
you will be asleep, Brian.
I like Virginia Tech tonight, JP. Asleep. So. Pop Watson is going to be making his second career start.
Ooh,
Pop
Doc
Watson.
Walker?
Yeah, Pop Watson. He's a redshirt freshman that made his first appearance in the Duke game after their backup quarterback went down. He started against UVA 14-21, 254 through the air and a touchdown on the ground, 11-48 and a touchdown. So pretty impressive debut for him. Hell He's going to make the start tonight for Virginia Tech. I like their chances with Pop Watson under center.
What's the line?
Pop Watson.
Let me see. I'm not sure what the line is.
Pop Watson sounds like he played the banjo in a 1930s like fiddle band.
It is Minnesota.
Like he's from that area down there, Tidewater area.
It is Minnesota minus 10 right now. It opened at 4.5.
Minnesota.
I get Pop Watson plus 10. I like that
Give
number.
It to me. Give me Pop.
I think me and Pop are going to ride tonight. You got all the coverage here. What do you got?
Yeah, I'll be the scoreboard host giving you updates on JP, it has been bad for the ACC in bowl season. They are 2-10. This is the final one. For the Hokies, the final ACC game, looking for that third win for the ACC.
What did Lane Kiffin say about the ACC last night? That's how we play against the ACC. They destroyed Duke. Yeah,
they killed them. They absolutely destroyed them. So ACC needs one tonight. Hopefully the Hokies can provide it.
Duke ain't ready for Ole Miss. Ole Miss can score 75 if they want.
Well, and they also lost their quarterback. Malik Murphy transferred, so... I mean, you know how bowl season gets wild now, but luckily for the Hokies, they got their quarterback.
A new rule needs to come in place. If you get to the end of the season, you can't. If you leave and don't play in the bowl game, you don't play the next year.
We'll see.
I know kids, families might get mad. I don't give a damn. But I'm sick of people being able to play all year and then just give up on the bowl games, because there's somebody that gives a damn about it. If you don't care, then you know what? You won't play in the bowl game. Cool. Get ready to do whatever you're going to do, but your team will not play the next year, or you won't be able to play the next year.
I don't hate it.
B's had enough. We got to go to break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the week and play Jeff Walker's hype song. We back up
again.
One more time. Here's something that makes no sense. Northern Illinois set to join the Mountain West. College sports is broken, dog.
Hey, man, if it got green, they chase it.
For sure, for sure. Something that does make sense.
I'm going to file a lawsuit. I'm going back to get my money as owed to me. I think I'm owed about $8 million from my 4 years in college.
As your attorney, I'll settle for a mere 5% fee.
You haven't done anything to be my attorney.
All right, 4%. If you don't have plans this afternoon, you should join Grant and Danny as the Field Trip Friday series continues. They're broadcasting live today.
Did Landfill get his points?
I got an answer on that.
Okay.
From Craft House Fairfax, from 2 to 5:30. Go check them out. Craft House in Fairfax. I've heard that place is dope. There's also one in Reston, I think. I asked Darius. I said, Darius, did you give my boys the points? Because I'm running out of time to do your read. He said, the machine is broken. I can't access them. I can't send them.
So you just took Darius' word for it. He just lied to you.
B, of all the people in this building, I think like Darius and Toby might be the trustworthiest.
The ones that seem like they're trustworthy normally aren't.
Landfill, do you believe Darius?
I think the machine is broken, but we will absolutely never see those Odyssey points.
In other words, that could be true.
He gave you the truth and the lie.
Like, he's not lying that the machine is broken. I mean, it's an Odyssey machine.
He's lying that they're going to get them points.
It's an Odyssey machine. Of course it's broken. But that I don't think Jeff and Landfill are ever going to get the points at the same time. Like, one day it'll get fixed.
I think y'all should just catch him coming up the stairs one day. There you go, Landfill.
Remember when the preacher...
Tanya Harden, baby. Tanya Harden.
Only preacher... You're advocating for Landfill to take out Darius's knees for lack of Odyssey points?
Hey, you lie about the points.
B, the gumbo was terrific. And I am glad you tried the chocolate pudding pie and liked it.
Lauren, that right there, can't tell you what I thought. But it was great.
That sounds weird.
Hey, I know what I'm thinking. You don't know what I'm thinking. But it was great, I'll tell you that.
Jeff, anything you'd like to add to B-Mitch's?
Yo, that pudding was good. I never tasted a pudding pie before.
It's banging.
I always heard about it. and I never tasted it.
That pudding pie.
That pudding pie. Pudding pie.
Jeff, yeah. As much as you like Miracle Whip, how do you feel about Cool Whip?
I mean, Cool Whip, cool. And look, stop saying it like I have like some obsession with Miracle
you
Whip.
Do. You do.
You talk about it constantly.
Nobody talks about Miracle Whip more than you on the planet.
I was just saying. People who work at Miracle Whip don't think about Miracle Whip as much as you.
I think they need to give you a damn, what's it called?
If Jeff bathed in Miracle Whip, it would not surprise me.
Hey, yo.
They should promote you.
Let's wrap up the week. Let's get the hell out of here before the FCC gets involved. Heard it here first.
Heard it here first. Gather around.
My man Sean is a dessert goblin. He just stays looking for it. Jeffrey, what do we got?
This is actually, I can see why the computer is down because the computer is frozen for me right now. I wasn't able to go back and listen to it.
Okay, so we all tied. Good.
Hold on. I have an idea.
I know I lost.
Hold on. I have an official idea, and I'd like us all to vote on this. White Brian, can you hear me? White Brian's creating spreadsheets. White Brian seems very organized. Can White Brian take over Heard It Here First?
Fine. I know you don't care.
I'm asking if White Brian wants
like,
to do it.
Please, take it off my plate.
You want to, White Brian?
Sure. Yeah, I can do it.
We got him.
It'll be amazing. White Brian will actually write it down when people make the bets rather than trying to listen to the audio.
I wonder what people that listen to this show for the first time say, why they call it White Brian?
I don't think it's that hard to understand. We got two Bryans. All right, so since Jeff doesn't keep track of the bets and we have no idea who won or lost this week.
Do you know what you bet last night?
I just told you it was all ties.
I took the Duke under.
And did it hit?
I don't know.
Exactly.
Let's all make a Skins prediction.
It was the Duke under.
Commanders, Cowboys, give me a score.
24-35-14.
24-12, Commanders.
35-14.
Landini?
I don't want to hear nothing from this dude named Donnie, neither.
31-2.
31-2. I like that. White Brian?
26-19.
23-16. Commanders
win. Why do you pick a weird score like that?
I like weird stuff, B.
35-14, and if the Commanders win, Donnie have to wear a Commanders jersey and eat two blizzies.
2-2.
Hold on. Landfill picked 31-2, and you're mad at me about my score being weird?
But 31-2 is very possible.
Didn't it just happen?
Let's all pick.
I saw something like that.
I got an upset for you. I think Carson Wentz balls out for the Chiefs because Andy Reid is just a quarterback whisperer. And I think they beat the Broncos. I think the Bengals get into the playoffs. Wow.
The Bengals.
What do you think? What's your pick for the weekend?
I pick the Commanders to win. That's it.
Okay.
I don't care about the other scene.
Oh, were we going to play Jeff's song? Too late?
We can play it on the way out. Come on, Landfill. Throw it in there.
It's all good. Too late. Just know that the CD is coming.
You've been saying that since the first game.
Jeff, it's 2025. You got to wait for CDs?
You got to wait for the entire season to end so you can put them all on one tape.
Oh, not a CD. Even better, a tape.
Oh, my gosh. I forgot you old. Bro, it's a project, man.
We only have 16 songs, though.
Jeff waited for the 78 to come out.
I'll take a bite.
The ALP.
Let's get out of here. Go visit Grant and Danny at Craft House in Fairfax. Thank you to PFT Commenter for joining us. Thank you to Nui Scruggs for joining us. Thank you to Maryland Governor Wes Moore for joining us. Thank you to the folks that called. Shout out to my man Wayne and Bowie. He's been on hold an hour and 15 minutes. The phone calls got away from us today. I apologize. There was pudding and gumbo.
Well, JP, you always forget about the phone call. That's your fault.
Thank you to everybody. Have a great weekend. Commanders and Cowboys. Next week, we're talking playoffs, baby.
Take it to the house, Wayne.
Grant and Danny next. You made it this far. B. Mitch owes you some gumbo.